If you have your Bibles, I'd ask you to open them to the book of John chapter 12. John chapter 12 this morning, in a message that we are calling, Are You Devoted to Jesus? That is a question I hope you'll consider as we preach this morning. As Sister Kim said, I don't know what you're dealing with today. I don't know what your struggle might be, but I do know the answer is in Him. He is our Lord and our Savior. He has provided for every need. He is the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the King of Kings. If it's not with Jesus today, it can't be had. And today I want to begin our Easter season by taking a moment for us all to consider whether we're devoted to Him. If you found John chapter 12, verse 1, I wonder if you would stand in honor, if you can and you're able, of the reading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. John writes in John 12, verse 1, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was. This is an important part of our message today. Which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This He said not that He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief, and He had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against this day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the blessings of life. We thank You, God, for this sweet spirit this morning that we've already felt today. In the hour of Sunday school, God, and here in this hour of worship, God, we're so gracious to be able to be in Your presence. God, one who has done so much, one who is so mighty, one who has raised the dead and Himself been raised out of the tomb. God, we give You the glory this morning and the praise. And we just pray, Lord, that You would meet with us, a group of sinners desperately in need of Your grace. And pray that, God, before we leave this place, we might encounter You and that we might be closer to You than when we walked through those doors. God, if there's any person here who needs to turn to You in repentance, I pray, God, that today is the day You draw them forth by Your Spirit. And God, You save them and bring them into Your will. Lord, we give You the glory for this. And we thank You for what You're going to accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. May God add His blessings to the reading of His Word. It says in the Scripture here that at the start of this scene, it was 6 days before the Passover. So it was close to the season that we're in today. We are in the Easter season. And in this moment, there's lots of things that we're preparing for. I spoke about it just a little bit before we got into the service. We have a lot of announcements to make at the end today. And there's a lot of fun and exciting things. This is a busy time for God's church. It's a special time because it is the season in which we acknowledge and remember the death of our Lord and Savior, but even more importantly than that, His resurrection and His eternal life. And it's important for us to acknowledge that and to see that. You know, as I grew up, when holidays would come around, and specifically I remember Easter, we would always go over to the McKinney grandparents' side, typically. And I think we'd have lunch together after church. And if, I was young or there were some young kids, we would hunt Easter eggs and have a good little time together. And, that was a sweet time. That was a wonderful time. A lot of those folks have gone on now to be with the Lord. We were at the cemetery yesterday visiting. and remembering many of them are there. Their shells are, not their souls. But as I look at this scene here described in Scripture, it seems to be similar to that. A time when friends and family members might gather together to have a meal together, to share fellowship, maybe an anticipation of the holiday that's to come. That's all a normal thing that we would do. But as you read further into it and you look more at what transpires, there's no doubt that you'll arrive at the conclusion that there is nothing ordinary about this scene in these eight verses. Yeah, it's common to travel for a holiday. That's what apparently Jesus had done. He came to Bethany. Yes, it's common to gather with friends and family. Lazarus and Martha and Mary and the rest of his followers are there with him. Yes, it's common to have a meal together. That's what they're doing. Yes, it's common even to sit around a table together. That's what they're doing as well. But what was not common in this scripture today was who was sitting at the table. And boy, we could go a lot of different ways with that. But I think this morning we'll go with these two. It was Jesus who sat at that table. And Lazarus, John tells us, was one of them that sat with him. Now, not a few days prior, Lazarus had been dead. But here he is, eating his dinner with the rest of Jesus and his followers. Folks, Christ transforms the ordinary into the extraordinary. And this morning, I want to ask the question and then try to answer it as best as we can. Are you devoted to Jesus? And this morning, I'll tell you in this scripture, two people who certainly were. Number one, the dead man, you better believe, was devoted to Jesus. The dead man sitting at the table was devoted to Jesus. Church, one of the most famous beginnings to a novel that we have in, you know, literature is that opening to the Christmas Carol. Now you're saying, oh, Pastor Josh, have you got your holidays mixed up? It's Easter, all right? We're having an Easter message. Why are you talking about a Christmas Carol? Well, in that book, the very first line of Dickens' A Christmas Carol is, Marley, that's Scrooge's old business partner, was dead to begin with. There is no doubt whatsoever about that. That's how Dickens begins the tale. He then ends that paragraph by saying that Marley was as dead as a doornail. You ever said that before? Did you know Dickens came up with that? He's the one who invented that phrase. It came from A Christmas Carol. As dead as a doornail. That's a lot of words to start at the very start of your story to try to tell somebody that somebody was dead. But you see, it was incredibly important to the narrative of A Christmas Carol because it will be the spirit of Marley who will come and tell Scrooge that if he don't change his ways, he's got a horrible future in store. So he wants to make sure that the people reading the book knew that Marley was dead. Well, let me be clear. In this case of the scripture that we just read, Lazarus was dead to begin with. There had been no doubt whatsoever to that. He had been sick for a time, and in this world, unfortunately, people get sick and then they die. And that's what happened to Lazarus. In fact, he had died, had been wrapped in his grave clothes, and he had been laid in a tomb. The stone had been rolled in front of the grave, and in fact, he had had a funeral already, and he had already been in the grave for several days. He was dead as a doornail. And yet, we read this passage that tells us that Lazarus was there, sitting at the table, ready to take a meal. How is that possible, Pastor Josh? Dead men don't eat. Dead men don't speak. Dead men don't blink their eyes or smile or laugh or do anything else. Dead men are what? Dead. But this dead man was alive. Now, I'm going to tell you, I told you that was an extraordinary table to be sitting around. And there's a lot of things that I can think of that if I got the chance to go back in time and sit around this table 6 days before the Passover at Bethany, there's a lot of things I'd love to ask some of the people sitting at that table. But I got to tell you, if I had the same knowledge as some of those people, if I had seen and heard the same things, I have to admit, one of the most pressing questions on my mind would simply to be pointing across the table at Lazarus and say, how is it possible? How is it possible that you're sitting here right now? Just a few days ago, you were laying dead in your grave. How can it be? And Lazarus maybe would shrug his shoulders and just point to the Savior and just say, Jesus. Jesus is the answer. I don't know how it's possible. I don't know how I'm sitting here healthy and whole. I don't know how it's even a remote possibility that I could be sitting here taking a meal with you today, but I know who it was that made me alive. It's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus is the one who raised me from the dead. Is there anyone else, I wonder, who could say this morning, I was dead too, and I ought to be in my grave right now? In fact, Pastor Josh, this is pretty accurate. Because if I'd continued down on the path that I was on, certainly I would have probably wound up in my own grave. But I'm sitting here alive this morning. And the only reason that I can point to is Jesus. You're a dead man or a dead woman that Jesus has brought back to life. I'm going to tell you right now, are you devoted to Jesus? The dead man is. Ain't that right? The dead woman is. What you once were, where you once were, what you once was, you are no longer. And the only reason is, it's Jesus. Folks, I know that Jesus brings the dead back to life this morning. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And praise God, I believe Him this morning. If you're sitting here dead in your sins, if you're sitting here not knowing what you're going to do, you don't know if you're going to be able to see another day come by. If you have no hope this morning, let me tell you, there's a man who can make you alive today. His name is Jesus Christ. Are you devoted to Him? Church, I'm devoted to Jesus today because I'm a dead man that He's brought back to life. Number two, not only was the dead man devoted to Jesus, but I believe the debtor was devoted to Jesus. The debtor that we see in this passage was devoted to Jesus. Now, at some point, we're not told specifically, but at some point, the dead man takes his last bite of mashed potatoes. And the meal's over. And the dinner ends. And when that happens, the Bible says in verse 3 that Mary, Lazarus' sister, stands and presumably says, there's something I need to do. And maybe she walks off into the back of the house. She rummages around. Everybody's kind of sitting around looking at each other, say, well, what's going on? I don't know. She returns, the Bible says, with a box of about a pound of ointment, spikenard, which in that day, John tells us, was very costly, about 300 pence. A pence, if I'm not incorrect here, Brother Roger can correct me later if I'm wrong. A pence was about a day's wages, I think. And so a woman comes out with maybe just a little bit less, something of value, just a little bit less of a whole year's wages. Can you imagine? Something that valuable you hold in your hand? I've never held that much in my hands in my entire life. All right. I have a bank that tells me I have my money. I don't know if it's there or not. All right. You know, I don't know. I just have faith it is. It'll come out when I push the buttons at the ATM. So I got no clue. But she had it. She knew. Everybody looked around and said, woo, that's expensive what this lady has brought into this room. And then she does the most remarkable, extraordinary thing. She approaches Jesus. She falls to her knees. She anoints his precious feet with this spice, and she wipes them clean with her hair until, the Bible says, the odor of the ointment fills the house. Now, we can already see, we already know, this woman was devoted to Jesus. That was an incredible act of devotion. But I wonder why she's so devoted to him. Now, I don't know how she came into possession of this precious ointment. I don't know if she had that kind of money or if she had done something, taken out a loan, purchased it upon her brother's death, and she was saving it to anoint his body over time so that it wouldn't stink. That's what the common tradition in that day, because, you know, they didn't have the techniques we have today, the embalming. And so if people wanted to visit the tomb, it was sometimes uncomfortable, right? If there was not that ointment that had been spread around. So I don't know how she came into possession of this, but she didn't need it any longer. So she brings it out, and she rubs it all over Jesus' feet. Well, Pastor, why didn't she need it? Well, let's go back to the story a little bit. Just in the previous chapter, chapter 11, John tells us that when Jesus came to see Lazarus, when he was sick, he came too late. That when he arrives, Lazarus had already died. And Martha, Lazarus' other sister, the Bible tells us, meets him outside the town while Mary remains at the house. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I have. A house that is affected by death is a very sad place, particularly if that death was unexpected, if that death was, you know, the person who died was rather young. It can be a very grievous place. It's a place of mourning. It's a place of sadness. And so Martha had to get out of there. She goes and waits for Jesus. Mary presumably waits there. And in fact, when Jesus arrives, Martha greets him, says, "You're too late, Jesus. He's already dead." Can you imagine, by the way, can we just pause right here? Can you imagine telling Jesus he's too late for anything? They didn't know, did they, church? But they said, "Jesus, you're too late. It's already happened. He's already gone." And Jesus says, "Well, let's go see." No, I don't think you quite are. He's already in the grave. He's like, "Well, go send for your sister and let's go see." So she sends for her sister Mary. Mary leaves the house. Now, in that day, the tradition was, and I don't like this, I don't think any of us would like it, but in that day, when someone died, the mourning party gathered. In fact, that was actually a side job, all right? You could be paid to be a mourner in that day, okay? They wanted to make sure everybody understood and everybody was appreciating the death of your loved one. So they would, in fact, gather friends and family, and if they had to, they'd pay people to come to the house, stand outside the house, and mourn. Doesn't that sound fun? And so they're all gathered around the house, and Mary leaves. And the Bible says that they, who had gathered to mourn, just assumed that she was going to weep at the grave. That's what the Bible says. Apparently, there had been a lot of weeping because she loved her brother. She cared for him deeply. And now he was dead and gone. And that was it. In that day, under the old covenant, he's done. And so they said, "Okay, she must be going to weep." And she goes out and she meets Jesus and Martha at the grave. And the first thing the Bible says that she says to Jesus in verse 32 of chapter 11 says, "When she had come before Jesus, Mary, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, 'Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died.'" She had seen the miracles. She had heard the story. She believed that Jesus had power over sickness and ill and demons and the weather. He could do all these things. But she didn't know that he had power over life and death as well. So she said, "If you had just arrived here, Jesus, on time, maybe my brother would not have died." What could Jesus do when he was in the grave? By the way, don't, before you judge her too harshly. In that day, a Jew, faithful Jew, who knew the Scriptures, the only one who had power over our life and death was God Himself. That was it. So not knowing necessarily exactly who Jesus was in that moment, it doesn't strike us as strange that she would think that, well, there's nothing Jesus can do. Only God could do something about this. Oh, there's a sin shivers right up my arm and back, Brother Mike. So there is Jesus at the grave. And there's sadness and weeping, and there's this feeling that if Jesus had only been here, something could have been done. And the Bible, in fact, says that Jesus groaned in himself and that he wept. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. He wept at the sorrow. I believe, this is just Pastor Josh speaking personally now, okay? Forget this if you don't think it's right. But I think this is one of the moments where Jesus in the flesh was touched by the depths of the sin curse and death and felt it just as keenly as you and I do. That if you've ever lost someone you love and you see the sadness that follows and you experience that and feel that in his flesh, Jesus felt that just as strongly as we do. But then he says, roll that stone away from the door. And then it says in John 11, 43, 44, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And there's no pause. There's not, okay, let's see if it works. The Bible says, and he was that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Death has him no longer this morning. Are you following me? So when this lady laid down at Jesus' feet and spread across his feet this precious ointment that she had intended to lay at the tomb of her dead brother, but there he is, wiping the mashed potatoes off his beard. All right? She had a debt to this Jesus, and therefore she was devoted to him. And she showed that devotion through that act of worship. I'll tell you right now, if you owe a debt to Jesus Christ, you'll worship him this morning. You'll be devoted to him because you'll acknowledge and understand that he's done something for you that no one else could. Whew. Jesus can restore our hope this morning. Dear brothers and sisters, what hope do we have in this morning? Mary had no hope. When Jesus came, he was already dead, but then Jesus brought that hope back. Brothers and sisters, what hope do we have in the world this morning except that Jesus gives it to us? Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations 3:24, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." I'm devoted to Jesus today, this morning. Because Jesus has given me hope. I went to the grave yesterday. First time I'd taken my little daughter to my father's grave. He died, if you don't know, when I was very little. 3 years old. You think that's a sad thing, Pastor Josh? She never gets to meet her grandfather. Oh, but believer, I know one day she will if she trusts him. She trusts this Jesus that I'm preaching about. I believe my father's there waiting for me. And Hazel will see him one day too. Isn't that hopeful this morning, church? Whew, same thing with Becky Sadie. Hazel's never met him. Y'all know Mr. Ray. A good man. She had already taken Hazel to that grave once before. But my goodness, the hope we have this morning, it ain't the hope that the world has, right? It's a hope that only Jesus can give. I got to keep going. I'm preaching. Ooh, number three. Are you devoted to Jesus? Well, the dead man's devoted. The debtor's devoted. But now, we got to comment on the last four verses of this passage, and that is that the devilish man was defiled. The devilish man was defiled. Now, where we see two devoted to Jesus here, the Bible says we find another who will soon betray him. This devilish man, Judas Iscariot, has something to say about what's happening. Can you believe this? Debbie Downer has entered the room. Lazarus, a dead man that was once dead in the grave, sit at the table. Mary, a debtor to Jesus, worshiping him. And then Judas opens his mouth and says, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Wouldn't that have been a better thing to do with it? Shame, 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 shame." And of course, John rightly acknowledges he doesn't say this because he cared about the poor. He says this because he was what? A thief. And he held the bag and he wanted the money himself. I'm going to tell you right now, it don't matter so much about what motivated Judas to say what he said. I'm going to tell you why he said it. He said it because he hated seeing people devoted to Jesus. That's why he said it. He couldn't stand to see people devoted to Jesus. That's because he belonged to the devil, and the devil cannot stand to see people devoted to Jesus this morning. The devil doesn't want any of his dead children revived to spiritual life. He doesn't want anyone in this world to have their hope restored. He wants to hold your heart in his clutches and drag you down into hell with him. That's what the devil wants. So you can be certain at the very moment you choose to devote your life to Jesus, someone's going to start running their mouth. They're going to question what you're doing. They're going to wonder why you didn't do it sooner. They're going to doubt your sincerity. They're going to doubt your methods. They're going to doubt whether you'll last in your commitment. In short, they're going to say whatever lie the devil puts in their mouth to try to discourage and to put doubt between you and your Savior. That's what they're going to do. And beloved, my point in this one is very simple. Don't listen to them. Listen to Jesus. Obey Him. Exalt Him. Read His Word. Trust Him. I don't care if what these people sounds kind of right. Say, sounds kind of right. It turns out that the devil, a former angel of heaven and an absolute expert in the Word of God, can actually say things that sound kind of right from time to time. Yeah, it sounds kind of right that we should sell this and give it to the poor. Don't the poor need it? Sure they do. They're hungry. That sounds kind of right. The people in your life today, the people who belong to Satan, they might say some kind of right things that might cause you to falter in your devotion. But the Bible says to try the spirits, children. Test them whether they are of God or they are of the devil. And so here's why we shouldn't be taking theological direction from Judas Iscariot. Do you know what happened to Judas? He met his end hanging from a tree with his guts spilled out on the earth. This very moment, Judas Iscariot is in hell in torment, waiting for his number to be called so that he can be cast into the lake of fire forevermore. Do you want to listen to Judas Iscariot this morning? Or do you want to listen to Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of our Father in heaven? Don't listen to these devilish men and women who will just try to discourage you. They defile themselves with their lies. Jesus answered Judas pretty easily, as it turns out. He said, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Church, there's a purpose with this act of devotion. Mary's obedience prepared the way for Christ's death, and it furthered the Father's will on earth. Yes, helping the poor is good. And God will call us to do it in our service to Him. But catch me before we end. Listen, God's not commanded you to be devoted to the poor. You're to be devoted to Jesus. Let Him determine what you do and when you do it. Here's how I want to close, church. Are you devoted to Jesus? There's been a passage of Scripture that's been very heavy on my heart for a few weeks now. In fact, if you want to turn to it, it's John chapter 6. John chapter 6. This is a difficult passage. In John chapter 6, Jesus has just revealed that He's God to His followers. He's told them and laid out the reality that no one can be saved except by Him. He's explained in John chapter 6 that He's the fulfillment of the Old Testament law, declaring in verses 56 and 58, read this with me here. This is tough stuff. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Jesus preached this message, and Brother Roger, he did not get a good response. That encourages me, by the way. It ought to encourage you, too. You preach, you want to get a good response. I love to preach and see everybody jump up out of their pews and hit this altar as soon as I'm done. My goodness. You want to make me have a shouting match? All right, just go ahead and test me. All right, try it. Hit this altar in a minute. 30 or 40 of you. We'll see what happens. But I know as well as you do, sometimes that is not the response we get from the people in this world when we share the gospel and the story of Jesus Christ. And in fact, that's not what happened here in John 6. People didn't say, oh, finally, Jesus, you've explained it to us. Oh, finally, we believe now, we trust you. What happens in verse 60 says, John writes, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And so then Jesus says, well, did it offend you? Did what I say offend you? And he asked them what could change their minds. How about seeing a great miracle? Would that make you believe me? He says, nobody except for the Lord, my Father, can give faith. And only He knows who it is that does not believe and who will betray Him. And so after He says all this, believe it or not, that didn't make it any better. And in verse 66 of John chapter 6, here's what John writes. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And so Jesus turns to the 12, the Bible says, and he says, will ye also go away? This is the moment, church. Oh, Lord Jesus, move, speak. I've been asking you all morning, are you devoted to Jesus Christ? Are you devoted to Him? There's a lot of things that'll be said and done in this world that people will think means a lot, accomplishes a lot, does a lot of things, will be remembered in history. I'm going to tell you right now, there's one thing that will determine your eternity. Were you devoted to Jesus Christ? Did you belong to Him? Did you trust Him? Did you have faith? The world, the devil, the devilish people in the world will do everything they can do to tear you down and rip this devotion from your heart. And it may be that you'll hear something, you'll experience something, you'll participate in something, and it will offend you that God has taught or said. And it will be hard to hear and hard to follow. And then Jesus, as people are walking away, will turn to you and say, what about you? Will you go away also? I love what Peter responded, though. Here's what Peter said in John chapter 6, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Are you following me this morning, church? Does anything else matter? Listen, I know you got problems. I know you got hardships. I know that things seem difficult sometimes and that you don't know which way to go. But I'm telling you today, there's one man with the words of eternal life. There's one source of that living bread, that living water. It's Jesus this morning. Will you turn to Him? Will you follow Him? Will you be devoted to Him? Every morning I get up on Sundays and preach to you. And I do so out of love because God has called me to speak to you. But I'm pleading with you every morning. Are you devoted to Jesus? Because if you're not, nothing else matters. Beloved, are you devoted? Heavenly Father, let's pray. We pray. I was initially going to give an invitation through song. I'm not going to do that this morning, but I am going to give invitation as I pray. God, if someone's being spoken to by You, they'll come whether we're singing a song or not. God, this moment right now, this altar's open. We're asking the question this morning, is there anybody here that needs to be devoted to You? Somebody whose life's out of sorts. Somebody who's maybe fallen away. Somebody maybe who hasn't trusted God in any capacity. Lord, this is the morning that You've brought them to this moment. And You're asking this question, are You devoted to Me? If they don't know the answer, but they know that they want to be, will they come this morning to this altar? Let me pray with them. Christians are praying right now. Is there any person who wants to step forward today? Step up to this altar. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know the devil's telling you all kinds of reasons why you shouldn't give your life to Christ. But I'm going to tell you one reason why you should. Lazarus is alive this morning. Pastor Josh, didn't he die again? Yeah, sure, maybe. But his soul's in heaven. He's waiting for the greater resurrection. The one I'm waiting for as well. Are you waiting for that resurrection? Are you kept under the strong hand of Christ this morning? Until that day that you'll be resurrected to live forevermore in body and in soul? If you're not this morning, will you come? If you can't come, will you pray where you're sitting? God, I want to be devoted to You. God, I've got so many voices in my ear telling me this way or that way, but God, I want to go Your way. Lord God, I want to be devoted to You. Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for this day. God, we thank You for this moment. We thank You, God, for the Holy Spirit moving, God. As we've preached and as we've declared Your gospel, God, it's not my word, it's Yours. Lord, You know the needs that we have today. And God, You're the good shepherd who can provide. Meet our needs this morning. Help us, Lord God, to hear what You have to say. And God, help us to be always devoted to You. Lord, we're going to do business with You now. Give us peace in Your spirit. Help the Holy Spirit to continue to lead Christians to pray. And God, we'll trust You. In Jesus' name we pray.